Live from London, this is The Drive Home with Seb Ventura on Teachers Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, welcome to the show. Today we'll be talking about stepping up to leadership. Have you done it? Are you thinking about doing it? Please call in to discuss. I have two guests who have both taken the plunge recently, and they're going to discuss with us the experiences of that process. As usual, download the Podbean app or go to our website at ttradio.org to join the conversation.
Live from London, this is The Drive Home with Seb Ventura on Teachers Talk Radio. Tune in live on the Podbean app or desktop player. Just head over to www.podbean.com/lsw/ttradio or search Teachers Talk Radio. Follow the hashtag TTRadio.
Good afternoon. This is Seb here on the Drive Home show. I hope you've had a great week. Weather's gone a little bit miserable down here in London, but it seems to have stopped raining. So anybody on gate duty around 3:30 near me would have probably got pretty wet, unless they've got an umbrella, of course. Good afternoon to those people joining the studio, Miss Meg and Mr. Tilbury there. Thank you for joining us so early on. Yes, I hope everyone's good. Today's show, I mentioned it there, we're going to be talking about leadership. So mainly looking at the role of AEHT, assistant head teachers, deputy head teachers, and mainly looking at, this is about when you step up. Do you want to step up? Are you a middle leader about to make that step up? Is it something you would like to do in, say, 5 years' time? Is it something you've played around with or you're thinking about doing in your current school and you're not really sure? You're not really sure what they entail. You don't really want to go and ask anyone about it because you're maybe not sure how you feel. This is the place to find out. Call in, talk it out, and discuss it, and we will try and answer your questions. We've got two fantastic guests, both of which are assistant heads in charge of teaching and learning. And both of my guests today have taken that decision to go onto the leadership team in the last few years. So they are going to be ripe for discussion and questioning about that decision. And that's what we need to know. We want to find out how people feel. So if you're listening in and you're already on leadership or you're part of an SLT, please get in touch, call in or message me on the chat. Let us know your story, or let us know about what you think the key responsibilities are, that, or the skills, so I should say, that someone needs. Because a lot of people out there probably who may be thinking about it and don't really necessarily know what it looks like. I did this process myself. I was a teacher for a good 10 years before I made that step up. And there were elements of it that when I became an assistant head were exactly how I imagined, and other elements I would never have realized. So some of it is a personal moment, a personal decision when you actually go into leadership. And of course, it is context based. Every school runs their leadership teams differently. You might have a very small leadership team or a large one. The amount of hours you have in the classroom assigned to your timetable will vary. So please get in touch. Tell me what your experiences are. Are you a super happy assistant head at the moment, ignoring all the extra stuff we've got to do for COVID? Normally in your job, are you happy? Do you love it? Do you love the challenge of it? Are you waiting then to go to be a deputy head or progression? Call in, let us know. Are you a teacher or a middle leader that is thinking about doing that and wants to talk it out or get some advice? So that's what we're going to look at today. So I'm just going to see who's joined us on the studio. So we've got Rebecca's come in, Seema's joined us, Adele's entered. I'm not sure it's the famous singer Adele, probably not, but hello to Adele. And Kate Jones is with us as well. So yeah, great. That's what we're talking about today, leadership. SLT, whatever you want to call it. Are you thinking of doing it, going for promotion and making that step up? Are you already on the case with it? So a few bits and bobs while I'm waiting for anyone to call in. We are going to be speaking to Jackie. She's the first guest I have today. And Jackie is an assistant head and she teaches PE as far as I'm aware, although she may well have taken up other subjects along the way. And actually, that's another good discussion point for us. I know when I went on to leadership, I had to pick up a few hours of history, not being a historian, being a drama teacher, I kind of thought that would be pretty easy. Actually, it is much harder than I imagined. So props to all the history teachers out there. Because with drama, you don't necessarily need tons of resources. Whereas with history, I think you kind of do. So that was a that was a wake-up call for me about getting organised. So maybe you're an assistant head and you've got a key subject area, but actually part of being on leadership, I would argue, is sometimes you do have to take one for the team. You have to take one for the whole school. Maybe you have to do cover to help out so that staff don't have to necessarily do it. I know that's how some schools operate. Other places don't. Maybe you have to teach out of your subject area, which I think is always good to do, because I think it actually made me a much better teacher doing that. So I think I'd always recommend that to people once you've been teaching a few years. It's not as scary as you think, and it does sharpen your teaching skills for sure. So yeah, what is your experience? So I'm going to speak to Jackie first when she calls in, and we're going to ask her some questions about leadership, the same questions that I'm posing to you guys today, which is, if you are an assistant head, what are the challenges? What are the things that make the job really tough? What are the things you enjoy, the elements of the role that you really enjoy doing and get a buzz from when you made that step up? Are there things that you used to have to do as a classroom teacher or even as a middle leader that you then let go of and other people start to do for you, or start to do those roles, not for you, but roles that they can do that you don't have to do so much? So there's a sort of freedom there a little bit. But there's a lot of accountability and there's a lot of pressure as well that comes with it. So that's what we're going to try and unpick today. We don't necessarily want to put people off it. We don't want to encourage everybody to do it if it's not for them. The other part of this, of course, which I've mentioned on my shows in the past, is the COVID impact and whether or not there is a logjam of jobs due to head teachers not retiring, influx of new people into the teaching profession from trainees, etc. And is there a kind of logjam? Do you get to the point where there's too many people trying to do it? For example, Becca, who's one of my guests later on the show, she has just been appointed a AHT at a different school to where she currently works. And I know she said there were something like, well, over 90 applications for that job, which is phenomenal. Well, well done to her for getting it, but also crazy numbers. So if you are thinking about doing it and you are thinking of applying, then that's something we can also help you with today. Maybe you want to call in and discuss an application. Maybe it is that time. It is teacher transfer window, isn't it? We're coming up to the last couple of weeks of term and things start hotting up. People start putting in their resignations. If they've got a new job, people start going for interviews around this time. I've seen a lot of traction on Twitter at the moment with that, with people looking for advice. And actually, it was one of my followers, actually, I won't name who it is, but he was the inspiration for today's show, because he put a tweet out saying he's thinking about going on to leadership, but he's just not sure what that's going to feel and mean and be like for him, and the impact it will have on his life and his work-life balance and et cetera, et cetera. So actually, he was the inspiration. So thank you to that person. I think you know who you are. Welcome to Mal's joined us in the studio, to Rachel, to Stecky, to Graham, a few other people there, Varin or Thomas. So great. Yeah, thanks for joining us for the debate today. We're going to be discussing leadership. We're going to be looking at the role of being an assistant head, what that means. And of course, there is a massive caveat to all of this, which is that every school is different. Every context is different. I know I may have people calling or listening in from India or from America or from different countries. Your experience might be totally different. Again, if that is the case, let us know, because otherwise you're only going to get my point of view, I'm afraid, for an hour and a half, which is not always great. So call us in if you teach abroad or you've got a different experience. So I'm not going to say anything too black and white with this, because I think it does depend on your school, and I wouldn't sit here and, you know, explain or dissect the role I did and say, oh, what was good and what was bad, and say that is typical. There are elements to which I think, speaking to other friends who are AHTs, are common, but I don't think you can read into it. Also, the other factor is that there is lots of different roles within leadership. So you may be an AHT that is in charge of teaching and learning like I was, you may be pastoral, maybe a safeguarding SendCo type of role that you have. It might be a data role. It might be a head of sixth form that's on leadership. There's lots. I used to work in a leadership team of over 10 people, which is quite large, I think, on average for a leadership team. And there was a lot of us in there, but that did mean we had lots of good opinions and lots of chance to, discuss our expertise. Graham has just messaged in. Nothing wrong with your opinion. Thank you, Graham. Nice to know you've got my back. I'm not sure some of my friends or wife would necessarily agree with my opinions, but certainly I have an opinion, let's say, and I will stick to it. But we're going to speak to the guests. And the main thing is that I will get our guests on in a moment and Jackie will call in and we'll talk to her. And some of the things I'm going to be asking her are about the role itself. I'm going to be talking to Becca as well about that and about their journey, because I find it fascinating talking to people about their journeys. And we don't always get enough time on the show to do it, because we actually obviously want to keep the airwaves free for you guys. But I think it's fascinating talking to people about their background and how they, you know, how they've progressed. And I think that idea of career progression is huge in our field. And it isn't for everyone. You know, there are plenty of people. My late father, for example, was a head of music. That's all he did. He stayed through his whole life at that level, a head of faculty. He didn't want to go any higher than that. He wasn't interested in whole school in that respect. And that was fine for him. I know a fantastic history teacher that I worked with a few years ago, close to retirement, probably will be retiring quite soon, you know, and he's a main scale teacher and that's all he does. And that he loves it. He absolutely loves it. No interest in promotional leadership. So it isn't for everyone. I'm certainly not sitting here telling people you've got to do it, but I know there are people out there that are ambitious. I know there are people out there that want to challenge themselves and try new things out. Of course, there is a money aspect to this as well. So people, you know, want to get up the ladder for those reasons, which are perfectly acceptable. Nothing wrong with that. Jackie's joined the studio, which is great. That means hopefully in a moment, Jackie, when you are ready, just click the sofa button and we can call in and start our interview. So there's lots of people out there in different positions. But I do know, dependent on age and experience, that there are people out there interested. Right, Jackie is calling in. So I'm just, she's clicked the button. So I'm just getting her into the studio. And she's connecting, Jackie.
Hi, can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Jackie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Are you okay today?
Yeah, had a lovely day, thank you.
Have you been teaching a lot today?
Not too much, but had a couple of lessons. A spot right. Of rounders in the rain, but...
Oh, rounds in the rain. Lovely.
Yeah, can't complain.
No, so you are still teaching PE then?
Yes, I am. So I'm still doing about 8 hours.
Okay, and are you doing...
I think I'm actually in a nice position, because I'm still getting to teach.
Yeah. Yeah, go on. Yeah, sorry. Oh, yeah. And how many... And is that 8 hours in total that you teach, Jackie?
Yeah, so I teach eight. So I think last year I taught 12, but 8 hours teaching PE, do a bit of A-level PE, doing a bit of year 11 GCSE, Key Stage 3. So I get a nice mix.
Lovely. Yeah. And that's important, isn't it? I think to still be doing that. And if you're especially in charge of teaching and learning, isn't it? It's still important that you're getting those experiences across the school.
Oh, definitely. Because you can kind of feel what's going on in the classroom and you know, and you're also still working on, you know, my profession, which is teaching, which I really enjoy. Some of my favourite hours.
Of course, yeah, exactly. And sometimes it's a break, isn't it, to actually just do that, which you love to do, and not have to be worrying about a million other things that you should be doing or emails that you should be responding to, I always thought.
Yeah, definitely.
So what we're going to do, Jackie, I'm not going to keep you forever for a long time, but we are going to just go for a couple of questions. Are you walking around somewhere?
So I'm still in school, but there's some work on the Wi-Fi, so I've had to find some 4G, which is outside.
I can hear you. It's just quite windy. It does sounds like you're actually playing rounders or something at the moment.
I found the one spot with 4G in the entire place.
Brilliant. Okay, so don't move from there, then stay still, I think is the It's the advice. Right, okay. So first of all, you've told us a little bit there about your journey, but can you just give us a bit more background? So how long were you a classroom teacher before? And then were you a middle leader after that?
Yeah, so I taught for about 3 years just as a teacher. I actually then went travelling for a year and then came back, found myself in another school. And then, again, I think I've been quite lucky. I've had a range of middle leadership. So I did head of year 7, then I did head of year 11, moved on to kind of, then I, whilst I was doing head of year 11, I also took on leading the BTEC sport course, which is what kind of got me into the head of department position, director of sport, to where I am now. And I've been assistant head teacher on me in my 3rd year. So again, I've been very fortunate with the school and like the opportunities that I've been given, really.
So how long have you been at your current school then in total?
6 years.
Right. So that journey, that's quite good, really. That's quite kind of nice progression, isn't it? 6 years from middle leadership and then up to assistant head.
Yeah, definitely. And each year I was kind of given a new challenge, which you know, I feel like has really benefited me. I've been able to see the pastoral side, which has been able to help with the teaching and learning aspects. So I've had a nice range.
Yeah, massively. Okay, so just thinking about the role you do now and all that experience, because some of the listeners that are hopefully on the listening to the show at the moment, what I've been saying to them is about if they want to be an assistant head or they're thinking about it. Obviously, there's a lot of people not sure what it means. Can you think about what prepared you? What are the best things that you did before being assistant head that prepared you for that role?
So again, the school system set up, we always had every single person in the school has a mentor or a coach, depending on how long you've been in the profession. So I was I met weekly with the assistant head teacher who line managed myself, which really helped. And regardless if you have the opportunity or not, I would kind of say it's that constant challenging of thinking, constant refining of processes, that two-way dialogue, just really kind of watching what's going on around you and absorbing what others are saying and taking that good practice that you are seeing and thinking, actually, how can I use that and how can that enable me to develop as a leader? So I would say kind of that's just really helped him. And it, you know, you're never quite ready for the role, you're really not. It's that being able to be reflective and listening to others, which obviously if you've got those skills, you will learn about that role and you will develop with it. And the probably the other thing again is just being exposed to different things. So I always remember going to the Festival of Education as a head of department. And then that kind of just gave me a bit of enthusiasm about teaching and learning, and it kind of actually got me thinking, actually, you know, there's so much to it. It's and I kind of want to explore more.
I remember seeing you there actually. I mean, that's really good answer, because I think what you're touching on there is the fact of, you know, personal skills, isn't it? Because you are never ready for it. I would definitely agree with that. I think it is a bit of a baptism of fire, certainly the first year, you know, and then it does get easier. But I think you're never really fully ready. You just have to make that plunge. But that what you said there about skills, I think is important, because if you've got those ability to be quite, quite robust and reflect and, you know, learn from your mistakes, etc., I think that does stand you in good stead, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And just speaking to people, it's everything that you've said, just being open and being actually realising, you're not going to nail that job first time, but it's a learning experience. And
massively.
And enjoying that experience as much as you can.
Well, I know. And that's kind of what we're trying to teach kids, isn't it? At the same time, that you've got to make mistakes to learn and try and enjoy it as well, because it is painful making mistakes. But I think that is, you're right, the only way we move on. So in terms of the flip side to that question, I guess, is were there things that you weren't, that you had no experience of, that have been a massive steep learning curve?
Oh, yeah. So, I've only been, I teach PE, you know, that kind of pedagogy is actually really different to
Yeah. We lost you a bit there, Jackie. Oh, I think you might have gone into a bit of a...
Oh, can you hear me now?
I think you're back. You're back now. Yeah, you just went into a dead zone. Just say that last little bit. We lost you for a sec there.
Okay. So it's just kind of, obviously, you know, teach PE. I don't know. I'm not subject specific expert in all, well, any subject other than PE. And, you know, PE teaching has a different pedagogy to others. But then actually lots of it is the same. And another kind of big thing I'd say is actually where you're in a department, you are so immersed in that you know, you're on the ground, you're making decisions. It can be quite focused, but actually I think one of the hardest things is actually just being able to step back and really think about strategically planning and that implementation across that whole school, because, you know, small department, you've got a lot of control over, but actually, you know, all of that implementation, all of that planning, all of that monitoring is huge, isn't it?
And everybody
has different agendas, and everybody has different needs, and it's...
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that whole thing is the whole... It is, yeah. No, I agree. And I think that whole school, when you go from being subject area head of department to whole school, it is a completely different way of looking at things, isn't it? And you're used to that day to day. It's totally different because you're not in a little mini cluster, are you? You're like having to deal. And obviously, again, like there's lots of different opinions of different ways of doing things. And it's that's quite important as well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. The you know, you might go and think, I want it this way. But actually, you've got to be really collaborative. You've got to listen to people. You've got to actually find out ways to kind of onboard people and drive. And, you know, you learn the hard way. You go in with these amazing ideas. I want to do this.
Yeah.
Actually, let's think about the reality. It's way too much. Everybody else is doing X, Y, and Z. And, like, right, this is doing really, really well.
That's good advice.
Yeah. And then again, not doing it, not running it alone, having that person to bounce ideas off. And it's not just somebody who's above you. It's actually, you know, speaking to whoever it is you're working with.
Yeah, that's a good one. And so in terms of that, actually, can I just ask how many people are on your leadership team in total?
Yeah, so we have obviously the head teacher, then there's three deputies. So one deputy, and it's actually it's very much like a split in terms of pastoral, teaching and learning, and then data and other aspects. And then so within the pastoral team, one deputy, two assistants. That's exactly the same with the pastoral for the teaching and learning. One deputy, two assistants, and then just the one deputy for the data and like the running of safety aspects.
Okay, so there's about half a dozen of you then. Is there six or seven or something like that?
Yeah, seven. Yeah, seven.
Yeah, so that's quite a nice number. So, I mean, that's another thing, isn't it? One thing I found hard was, you know, having to go in there with my own opinion of how to do things, and then, you know, having to, you know, not get upset or sensitive if other people didn't agree or saw it in a different way. And that's quite a sort of tough lesson to learn, I think, at first.
It is when you go in with all these ideas, I want to do this, but then it's, and actually having, being able to, it's kind of striking that balance, actually run with it. Let's learn by those mistakes, right? That didn't work because of that and that, and let's actually refine it. And I guess it kind of comes down to, I mean, you know, those personal skills and that collaboration and just having, but you know, like you said, everybody's got their own agendas, everybody's got their own jobs, and as being a teacher, you're having fun in the space. But that's what I think's really been benefit with making space, making time to have those conversations and to strategize rather than just delve straight in.
Yeah, good. No, that's a good point. So I've got a couple of really quick, easy ones. One is, what bit of the job do you enjoy the most? So a sort of snapshot of what you like the most about it.
Let's go. Two things. One, when you go in and observe and you see like really good teaching and things that you've tried to incorporate and them actually working. You know, you go around and see amazing lessons. And then the second thing was one that I actually hated, like really, really hated, but actually now I...
Oh, we've lost you again.
Quite enjoy. It's actually like planning a whole school.
One thing you hated. Yeah, we heard one thing you hated and then we lost you.
Okay, so one thing I hated was standing up in front of, at the beginning, standing up in front of the whole school speaking. I absolutely hated it. But now I actually really like it because it's an opportunity to get across things that I want to get across.
Yeah.
And
lovely. Okay, that's good. They're good answers. And then what would you say, obviously tactfully, this bit, but what's the thing that you find the most difficult or the most challenging at the moment?
Hi, can you hear me?
You're back now. Yeah.
Okay. So work, it's the, you know, when things aren't going to plan. So, you know, in your head, you think all of this, everybody's hunky-dory. And then when you go out and observe it and it's not where it needs to be, that's like the most challenging. Because you think I've done this. So it's not making assumptions and, you know, not just allowing things to go, keep like checking in and monitoring.
Yeah, that is. But then also you don't, sometimes it's hard, isn't it? Because you might have done all the greatest things in the world with the best intentions. And for whatever reason, it hasn't stuck or, you know, people are not on board with it or what, you know, and it's really difficult actually, isn't it? To work out why or to go back and try again or to, you know, to look to sort of analyze it.
Yeah, it is. And it's also having the time. Because you say something and, you know, you have about 100 other things to do and you let it drift. And when you go in, you're like, oh, and then you're kind of kicking yourself. You're like, yes, I knew, you know, all well and good when you do, we do this. But in actual reality, it's just keeping on top of it, isn't it? And finding the time and actually realising, no, that didn't work. Let's start again.
Let's spin it off. Yeah, let's forget it. Okay, and one last question around this is, what advice would you give to anyone? So there's people that are listening to the show today that are hopefully either, you know, well, possibly thinking of going on to leadership. So what would your advice be to those people thinking about going on to leadership?
Just go and speak to people. Go and speak to people about kind of their roles, you know, what they enjoy. Maybe also just going and having that kind of that conversation whereby, oh, I'm thinking about doing this idea, and then generating kind of challenging thinking in that refining process with somebody. So you just kind of bounce ideas really, and just go and speak to them and say, actually, I'm interested. This is what I want to do. Find an area that you want to develop. You think you've got good ideas with, but go.
So we lost you again, Jackie, for a moment. I presume you can hear me when this happens. We may have lost Jackie. Oh, Jackie, you back? She's definitely. Are you back? You back, Jackie?
Hiya.
We lost you there again.
Hiya, you're right.
We lost you a little bit again there. But I think we got the gist of what you're saying. So would you say it's you'd advise somebody, if somebody was thinking about it, you'd say it's definitely a thing to do, or would you say, oh, do it with caution?
No, I'd say definitely do it. I'll just take the step. I've loved it. It's a new challenge.
Yeah.
You know, you're never ready. You're never ready for it.
No.
As long as you're willing to, you know, realise actually there's a lot to learn and you want to learn and you know, very self-reflective, then yeah, I would say definitely go for it.
That's a bit like advice to someone thinking of having a baby there, because you're never ready for that either, and there's no manual that you can buy, so you just have to learn by mistakes. That's good advice. Right, now I did mention to you, Jackie, that there is a game that I like to play with my guests just before when before they leave. So first of all, before I do that, thank you so much for joining us.
No worries.
And giving us your time. I know obviously in that role it's very, very busy. So thanks for joining us and sharing those opinions, which I'm sure people will enjoy. But the game, I'm also super excited because I've got a new jingle for my game, So regular listeners to the show won't have heard this. This is the first time it's been debuted. So the jingle explains the rules of the game, but in case you can't hear it, you're basically just going to hear two. I'm going to give you two choices, A or B, and you just have to say which one you prefer.
Got it.
Okay, that is it. There's nothing more complicated. So I'm going to try and play the jingle now and see what you think of it. Okay, here we go. The rules of the game are quite simple. You have two choices, A or B. You have to decide which of those options you prefer, with no explanation, no justification, and no judgment of your choice. It's just a choice, a simple choice. Listeners of the show can also take part, but we'll never know their answer. So the time is now, the pressure is on, for you to...
Take your pick!
Okay, Jackie, you still there?
I am, yep.
Okay, hopefully you heard that. That's my new jingle, which I love. Right, so here we go. The first one, Christmas... Oh, no, sorry, that's someone else's. Right, gin or vodka?
Gin.
Birthday or Christmas?
Christmas.
Pizza Express or prezzo?
Pizza Express.
Okay, rounders or cricket?
Rounders.
Okay, I put that one in for you, that one. Salt or pepper?
Salt.
Keanu Reeves or Johnny Depp?
Johnny Depp.
Love Island or I'm a Celebrity?
I'm a Celebrity.
Novels or poems?
Novels.
Shoreditch or Soho?
Shoreditch.
That's a bit of a London bias one, sorry. And then the final one. So the last one is always an education-based one. And then this one I'm going to ask you to justify. So pastoral or academic?
Academic.
Okay, why have you gone for that?
Well, A, because I chose it. But there's just so much more. I don't know. There's so much more, I guess it's not, but more depth to it. Oh, I know people disagree with that.
Yeah, no, they will disagree, but that's the point, really.
And lots to learn, and like teaching is, you know, that's the heart of it, isn't it?
Yeah,
making sure teachers in classes can teach well so our students learn.
No, that's fair enough. I mean, like I say, there's no real right answer to it. It's just interesting to hear people what they go for. So, brilliant. So I hope you enjoyed that. And yeah, obviously keep in touch with the show. We wish you the best of luck with the rest of your career. Probably when we next speak to you, you'll be a head teacher, won't you?
We'll see. Who knows?
Is that an aspiration? Do you want to be a head teacher someday?
In two minds. I'm going to go yes.
Okay, good.
But we'll see.
Thanks so much. No problem. Thanks for joining us, Jackie. Yeah, brilliant. You. Thanks a lot. Bye now.
Have a nice day. See you.
Yeah, bye. See you later. Bye. Right. Okay. So that was Jackie Hilton. So she was joining us there, and that was a really nice conversation, actually. I got quite a lot out of that, and I hope you did as well. Ian's messaged in there, epic, which I presume is referring to my new jingle, which if you stay with us till 5:30, you will be rewarded by listening to it again, because obviously we'll be playing Take Your Pick with my next guest, Becca, just after 5:00. So it's about 5:25 coming up to that now. We're going to just have a little pause, sort of reflection break. I'm going to stick the news on for you, and I'm just going to take a breather. And check out this week's news with Megan.
This is Teachers Talk Radio, and this is Teachers Talk Radio News with Megan Goods.
This is your latest Teachers Talk Radio News. The union GMB has conducted a survey on the nation's attitudes to teaching assistants. 74% of those questioned felt that the average teaching assistant's earnings, around £13,856 in 2020, were too low. Whilst 3/4 argued that support staff should be more valued by society. a spokesperson for the union, called teaching assistants the glue that keeps children's education together, and stated, "These results show that they are rightly valued by the public, and now it's time for the government and employers to catch up." Lord Michael Storey, a Liberal Democrat peer, is pushing for a bill which could see essay writing services banned in Britain amid fears students are cheating their way into jobs. The bill would make it illegal to provide or advertise the service. Lord Storey feels the free availability of contracted essay writing may bring academic credibility into question. Data from the Quality Assurance Agency for Higher Education shows essay mill services are on the rise in Britain, from 635 in June 2018 to at least 932 sites as of February 2021, indicating an increase in demand as school and university students worked from home. Schools in Scotland have received a warning from the Scottish Qualifications Authority after students were found sharing details of ongoing assessments on TikTok. The SQA suggested schools prioritise maintaining the security and confidentiality required for the integrity of the assessments and to ensure fairness for students. It called for schools to investigate malpractice and apply appropriate penalties. That was your daily education news briefing.
Live from London, this is The Drive Home with Seb Ventura on Teachers Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. If you're just joining us, today's show, we're going to be talking about stepping up to leadership. Have you done it? Are you thinking about doing it? We're speaking to my next guest, Becca, about this. Yes, join us as usual on the Podbean app, on the website, call in or message to join the conversation. Are you about to take the plunge into leadership?
Live from London, this is The Drive Home with Seb Ventura on Teachers Talk Radio. Tune in live on the Podbean app or desktop player. Just head over to www.podbean.com/lsw/ttradio or search Teachers Talk Radio. Follow the hashtag TTRadio.
Yes, so good afternoon. We're talking about leadership. I just had my guest Jackie Hilton there, who was really, really brilliant and helpful at unpicking some of the kind of key challenges of being an assistant head. And she had a really good route to that through being a teacher, middle leader, head of year, etc., all the way up, which is one route. Don't have to go that way, but that was her route. So the questions we're asking today are things like, if you're an assistant head, how many hours are you on? Jackie said she used to be on 12. She's now on 8 teaching hours. So that is very low, which is fantastic. Enables her to do all the other things she needs to do. Other schools, it may be different. You may be asked to teach more than that, depending on the budget of that school. How do you find that if you are on more hours? Let's say if you're on over 20 hours, for example, you know, can you manage to do your other roles sufficiently well, or does that impact at all on that? If you are thinking of being a assistant head, or if you're considering going on to SLT or going for some sort of promotion, then let us know. Call in, send us a message. If you're thinking of going for a promotion onto that role, because it is the teacher transfer window, as I said, 2 weeks left for most people to either hand in their notice or perhaps change jobs. So if that's something, so leaders that are out there that are already assistant heads, let us know how you find the role. I did this role for 3 years myself, so I feel fairly experienced, but there are lots of people out there that have done it for longer than me. There may be people out there who've only done it for a year or so and are finding it tough or not. And my advice would be, if you are, stick at it. It does get easier. As Jackie said, you know, you learn a lot about yourself and you learn a lot about the role quite early on. So hello to some of the people that have joined us. We've got Dr. G, we've got Duke, we've got Damra, we've got Amanda, we've got Grimms, loads of people that have joined in. I think that's Rochelle. I think that's an Irish name, or it might be Richard Al. I'm not sure. Sorry if I've got that wrong. Nikki, Brissis, Sarah Cardi. Great to have you all on the show. Please call in if you need to. Let us know if you've got a burning question. You can ask me or you can ask our next guest. Pop it in the chat. if you want to. Any callers that come in outside of my organised callers, as it were, will be receiving a Teachers Talk Radio mug, which will be posted to you. So please hit the sofa button on the Podbean app and join the conversation. Some people say that being a middle leader is the hardest job in schools. I've heard that said by a few people. Every job is tricky in schools, but a lot of people, Ian's agreeing with me there, saying that being a middle leader is one of the toughest gigs to have in a school. And there's lots of reasons for that. The fact you've got a large timetable, the fact that you're possibly line managing, other people, as well as being accountable for all the data. That is very, very challenging. And you're at the coalface fully, 24/7, as it were. And maybe there is an argument that, yes, SLT is pressure, but actually you do have a bit more time. You have a bit more flexibility. Or Mal's calling that the sandwich effect. That's interesting, Mal. I'd like to know a little bit more about what the sandwich effect is. Ian saying that he agrees it's slightly easier, inverted commas, on SLT. Again, there are aspects to the role where you can step back a bit more than you would being a middle leader. So, you know what? I disagree. Please call in and say I'm talking rubbish. I don't mind. I really don't. I'd love to talk it out with you. What about extra responsibility? Some people like extra responsibility. Other people are happy to just do their job and get good at it, and nothing wrong with that. Oh, Mal's explaining now. Thank you, Mal, because some people listening on the podcast won't see this. The sandwich effect, meaning the pressure from the top and from lower down. I get it. So, yeah, that is definitely the trick of middle leader, being a middle leader. And as I say, going on to leadership was tough the first year, but for me, it did just begin to get easier. Whereas being a middle leader, I don't think ever got any easier. I think, in fact, it can get tougher depending on the external pressure. So looking at now, for example, tags and CAGs, et cetera, the pressure on gathering that evidence, yes, it's on teachers, but ultimately it falls on middle leaders as well, that then have to then take that to the SLT groups. So yeah, it's a tough gig if you're a middle leader. So please don't let that put you off being an assistant head or going on to leadership, because it doesn't necessarily mean your workload will change. There's just probably a little bit more different type of accountability. And as Jackie said on the call earlier, thanks to Jackie for calling in, it's a different type of pressure that you would have, and it's more about learning whole school and getting out of your subject area and learning new stuff that you probably don't know about. But it's interesting. That's the main thing. It's interesting. It's challenging. You learn a lot about yourself and about how schools operate. Doesn't mean you want to be necessarily a head one day or even a deputy head, but I think I would definitely advise people to do it if you're thinking about it. Welcome to a few more people just joining the studio. It is coming up to 4:45 on Thursday, and we are going to be speaking in a little while to Becca Heather, who is an assistant head. She has been an assistant head for a few years. I knew her as an English teacher a long, long time ago. So I'm going to be talking to her about her journey. But if you're out there listening in, you want to call in, if you're maybe going for a job in the next few weeks, a promotion to the leadership team, give us a call, let us know, ask us questions, and let us know about what you're going for. We'd love to hear from you. Do you think it's a tough job? Is it something that anyone can do? What are the challenges of being on leadership? Let us know how many hours you teach if you are on leadership already. So that's who I'm looking forward to calling today. If you're on leadership, or you're thinking of going on to leadership, or promotion, even promoting to middle leadership would count, I want to hear from you. Have you done it before, or are you about to do it? Just taking a little breather, reading out some more messages coming in. Mal said, I love being an AP, assistant principal, but in one school, my timetable was much too heavy. Yes, that is probably part of the issue. And that's why I'd like to know what people's experiences are with timetabled hours. Jackie admitted earlier that she was lucky to only be on 8 hours, which is phenomenal. And obviously she has a lot of time to be doing her other roles. It's not always the case. Sarah Cardi's just messaged in. I think the CAGs and TAGs have revealed the pressure on middle leaders. And I think I would agree with that. I think that is as if we haven't got enough to do, as if middle leaders are not already doing a million things. So what gives? You know, what gives? You can't stop teaching your lessons. You can't not plan your lessons. Those kids have to come first, don't they? So something's got to, some ball somewhere's got to be dropped, I think. And that pressure, yes, it's always been there, but it's now becomes more apparent, Sarah's just said. So yeah, pressure. I think everyone's feeling it at the moment. Also, all I would say to people again is if you're feeling stressed, A, tomorrow is Friday, and B, Monday you'll be able to wear, hopefully a lot of my listeners will be able to relax their mask use a little bit. And C, there's only 2 weeks left. So this term has gone quite quickly, I think, for everybody. Two more weeks and it's May half term, which hopefully people will manage to get to without, hitting a brick wall. Mal said the ball that is dropped is usually the health and the family ball. So I presume she's talking about there the fact if you have got a family or friends, you get to see them less. And also your own health, your mental health, your physical health. And all these things are important. We talked about this on my show to my regular listeners a couple of weeks back, where we talked about mental health of teaching. And some of my guests told us how they deal with that and using exercise as a way of keeping mentally strong, or reading or listening to music. So, you know, please let's have that at the back of our minds. So, yeah, give us a call. We're talking about leadership. Sarah says she's lost that ball. So I don't know whether she means the metaphorical one or a football that a child has kicked over into her next door fence. Both are issues of being a parent, which I did make that analogy about going into leadership as well. I think you know, people say, I'm not sure, should I do it? Well, just do it. You'll learn on the job. You will enjoy it and you'll learn from your mistakes. Same as having a child, same thing, but the rewards are massive as well. Not just necessarily financial, but emotional rewards are huge. So yeah, that just give it a go. If you're not sure, as long as you feel you can try it, what's the worst you're going to do? The worst you'll do is, you know, decide in a few years to go back onto being a teacher. So it's no big deal. Give it a go. I mean, we need head teachers. We need assistant heads, because eventually these people will move on and we will need more people. Welcome to Giver of Life, who's joined the studio. Fantastic handle there. Right, so I'm going to be asking back some questions just after 5 o'clock. I'm going to be asking the same questions that I asked to Jackie. So if you missed the interview with Jackie, I was talking to her a little bit about skills. So I think with any role, any job that you go for, it's always about your skills and your personality. So I think I would agree with going on to leadership that you do need a certain set of skills. And you do need a certain personality, but that does not mean there's only one person or one way of doing it. But there might be skills that you don't realize you already have that are transferable. There might be skills that you haven't got, but you can learn from others on the team or from working with other teachers. So we talked a bit about what skills she already had and what prepared her. We discussed what skills she lacked, or what things she found difficult. And actually, it was quite interesting for her, because she said that talking in assemblies or talking in front of everyone was something she was dreading, but now enjoys. So that's another aspect of the role, that being out on the front line, on the corridors, in assemblies, you know, modelling that kind of behaviour management as well to other teachers, supporting other teachers, maybe on call. That's a tough thing to do as well. I found that quite hard at first, but I did get used to it. Ian's welcome to Jimmy. Ian's messaged in. A lot of assistant head teachers join the SLT, at least at first, don't say much. You're there for that reason. So yeah, you know, your opinion is to be heard. And that's another thing I found, that I've never been shy to say my opinion. But at first it was difficult to express it and articulate it, because I didn't have the language of that forum. So I kind of was passionate, but not necessarily erudite in what I was trying to say. So I think sometimes, you know, that's possibly why Ian is saying that, because I think people are a bit nervous at first to kind of, you know, break, you know, you're breaking into quite a tight circle, aren't you? A leadership group is a very tight-knit group for the right reasons. And so when you go onto that inner circle, you maybe feel a bit intimidated. But also, yeah, Mal's made a really good point. At first, it's important to listen and observe. And I certainly did that myself. I watched other assistant heads and deputies, how they conducted themselves. And again, it's whiter than white. If you are in that role, you are a role model. And I think I had some fantastic role models as deputy heads that I've worked with and assistant heads and head teachers, certainly at my last school, that really modelled for me what that means to be a leader, about, you know, being calm under pressure and, you know, dealing with things and giving people time and listening to staff and, you know, remembering that middle leaders and normal teachers are, you know, teaching full timetables and giving people a, you know, trying to give people a break and listen and help them whatever you can. I mean, that is a major part of the job. And Mal said, you can't go in all guns blazing. Well, I probably did and got shot down. But anyway, that is good advice as well. Take your time if you do get onto leadership and work your way into it. Mal's laughing at that. It wasn't pretty. Now, what else was I going to say? Yeah, so we're talking about leadership. Tell us what you think. Get in touch. The other things I'm going to be speaking to Becca about, other than skills, are the aspects of the role that she enjoys, which I asked Jackie, and the aspects of the role she finds the most challenging. Because like any job, there's obviously light and shade. Also, would you advise people to go into SLT? So if you're an assistant head out there already or a deputy head out there already listening, please message or give me a call and sell the job to people. You know, if you want to boost these numbers up, come on the phone and tell us why you should do it. If you're someone who's struggling, give us a call. Let us know what's so difficult about the role. We've discussed this on previous shows as well, haven't we, about we've talked a bit about retention. We talked a bit about the reasons people quit teaching. So, you know, maybe that is a pressure. I want to know people's journey. How do you get to being an AHT? For me, I was a subject classroom teacher, head of department, then did other kind of head of faculty, middle leader roles, then went down and did some projects, whole school projects, not actually on leadership, but kind of like on a shadow leadership team. And then actually was unsuccessful. I did actually apply to be an assistant head a while back and was unsuccessful the first time. And then a few years later, I tried again and got the job. So, there's a lot of ways to get to that point. I know other people that have done it much quicker than me, that have been teaching for less than 5 years, that have actually then got onto leadership. I mean, I think that's great for them, but it's also very tough because I think you haven't necessarily got the length of experience. But his horses for courses, isn't it, guys? Also, while we're on the subject of the masks earlier, I'd be interested to know what's happening with people's zones and bubbles as well. Oh, lovely point from Ian, because Ian's just made the point, all teachers are leadership, question mark. And that is a really good debate point, isn't it? Because when I was, it's funny that Ian said that, when I was making up the Take Your Picks yesterday, because obviously I spent a long time creating my Take Your Pick segment. And the last one that I always do, which is the teaching one, I put down, are you a teacher or a leader? And I kind of thought, actually, all teachers are leaders, really, in some way. So actually, that's a bit of a naughty one. But yeah, that's a really good question. Nadia has responded. Thank you, Nadia, clapping in and saying, yes, all teachers are leadership, which is another great way of looking at it. Sarah said 100% agree. Leadership at all levels is one of their school priorities. So that is true. So I think just for the sake of semantics, yes, including students, for the sake of semantics, what I mean by that is, you know, are we on the leadership team? Are we on that structure? Are we paid in that way? Is our timetable reflected in that way? And what does that actually mean at your school? How are the leadership team viewed? Do people know that that's someone they can go to for support and help? Or is there a chasm? Do you have a leadership team, or are you a teacher at your school where you feel you can't talk to them, or they're in some way aloof? I know head teachers that aren't on the corridors, or I know this is talking a long time ago, not anyone I work with now, you know, and head teachers and leadership teams that are out on the corridors constantly supporting and constantly a presence. You know, where does that come from? That comes from the school's vision of what they should be doing. Nadia, thank you for your message. Give us a call, Nadia, if you want to discuss more. Thanks for messaging in. Nadia has said moving to SLT is just the next step in influencing positively for teachers. Totally agree with that. I think one of the things I really enjoyed as an assistant head was being able to take what I was hearing on the kind of shop floor, if you like, people's complaints, people's gripes, and people's wishes, and being able to then go into that room with the others and thrash these things out and say, come on, staff feel like this. Why don't we do this? Should we change the time of the inset day? Do we need to let people go home early? You know, should we have more meetings? Should we have less meetings? Those kind of decisions are huge. And I would hope that anyone who was working when I was an assistant head, you know, would agree that hopefully I listened and tried to get things changed where I could. Thanks for that, Nadia. That was a really, really good point. Right, Mal's told us a bit about her journey. So I wonder how typical this is. Started teaching at 28, similar to myself, Mal. Head of Department of History, then Second in Humanities after 2 years, then after 3 years, AP, which I presume means Assistant Principal, for Teaching and Learning of Humanities Literacy, PHSC, then after 4 years, Leader Responsible for CPD across the mat. Interesting route. So lots of promotion opportunities there. So, and this is one of the good things about being in education, is that there are those opportunities out there for people if you want them. And obviously they're challenging, but they are out there if you want those roles. So it's just coming up to nearly 5 o'clock. I've still got people entering the studio. So great. That either means you're driving home and you've finished for the day. Give yourself a pat on the back. Or you're about to leave and you're listening at school, perhaps. Or maybe you've got home and you're putting the kettle on and you're thinking, I'm going to just snuggle down for half an hour of the rest of Seb's show. Nadia messaged in. As a head, I talked to all my teachers about when they were going to be a head. Oh, so Nadia's a head teacher. Thanks for that. That's an interesting one, isn't it? When, you know, what they're going to be when they're going to be a head. And Mal says she didn't go looking for leadership roles, but she wanted to influence people and make a difference. So again, sometimes I think people do fall into these roles, not necessarily by any choice. I know that I started teaching, and when I started teaching, that wasn't on my agenda whatsoever. I was just a drama teacher. That's what I wanted to do. Head of department, I could see coming, because I thought I like to organise and boss things around and do things the way I want to do them and put my ideas into the curriculum, etc. But I never, ever thought I'd be assistant head. Never, ever thought it. So, and other people, that may be their dream role. So get in touch. Let us know. As I say, otherwise it is just my opinion and my waffle. We are going to, Mal said head of history was her dream job. So yeah, a lot of us are fortunate to get our dream job. And obviously some of us don't, but for those of us that are fortunate to get that dream job, that is brilliant. Just a quick promotion for next week's show. I know we're still on this one, but I'm going to be speaking to two head teachers next week, again, about interview process, applying for jobs, less of application, all that kind of jazz, because that will be coming up to then the end of the period in which people can leave. So I don't want to spoil that now, but that is just a little flag up. If you're looking for a job at the moment or you're applying for jobs, then definitely tune in next week. Okay, so what else did I ask Jackie? I asked her about, I never actually got to ask her about her pedagogy and how, as an assistant head, she keeps on top of the latest research, because that is a challenge when there's so many books coming out at the moment and so much research in the last 10 years that is coming now, being published, about education. How do you keep on top of that if you're doing your day-to-day? How do you then pass it on to your staff? How do you take all that great stuff that's out there, whether it's, you know, from Kate's with retrieval practice, whether it's different people's, you know, Professor Coe's Thinking Hard, you know, what, how do you do that? And that's something I will definitely ask Rebecca as well, because I forgot to ask Jackie that. So I'm a bit annoyed with myself. Right, Becca, I think, is trying to call in. I just saw her ringing in there and it disappeared. Becca, if you're ready, I'm happy for you to call in now. So just give that another try and I'll let you into the studio. Becca is an assistant head in Essex. She's an English teacher. I know she's had responsibility for English for a while. And then she was promoted to assistant head. And she is apparently, you know, just about to start a new role somewhere else, which I'm going to talk to her about. Here she is. Let's get her on the call. So coming in now. Rebecca, are you there?
Hi, Seb. You all right? Can you hear me?
I can now, Rebecca, live and clear.
Excellent. How are you?
I'm very good. Are you good?
Marvellous. We've had wet break and lunch all day here today, so it's been brilliant.
Good. Wet break's always good fun, isn't it?
Always the best.
So that's a great way in, actually. So is that something you, as an assistant, had have to help with, or is that something everybody helps with?
So normally in the school I've been at, duties were sort of SLT responsibility, but with COVID we've had to change it, so all staff now do duties at break and lunch.
Right, yeah, of course, yeah, that's put a different spin on it, hasn't it? Right, so obviously I've known you for a long, long time, but my listeners won't necessarily know that much about you. So do you want to just tell us a bit about your journey in terms of, I'm interested in how many years and the kind of roles you took on the way to being an assistant head?
Okay, I actually went into teaching a little bit late. I didn't go into teaching until I was about 27. And I started as an instructor. So I went straight into the classroom with no previous teaching experience and cut my teeth with some interesting classes. I then trained at the school I was an instructor at, and I was given a great opportunity to stay there at the end of my training.
All right.
And then the year after my NQT year, I was promoted to be in charge of Key Stage 4 English.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So that's quite quick, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it was really quick. I predominantly taught Key Stage 4 and I'd been given responsibility for starting to teach media at the school as well and setting up a new course. But I think because I was there before I started training, it didn't feel like it was only my third year of being in the classroom.
Yeah, I see what you mean. So you'd been around that school anyway, so it, you know, you had the experience. Yeah. Okay, so then what happened after that?
So after that I was actually moved within the trust that we worked for to go and be head of English at a smaller secondary school down the road that was verging on special measures.
Okay.
And I walked into a really inexperienced department mainly made up of instructors and NQTs.
Right, and how many people were in that team that you had?
There were 8.
Right, that's still quite a lot, though.
It was, yeah, it was a much larger team. 3 of the team were training NQTs.
Mm-hmm.
2 were instructors, and 1 was an RQT plus 1, and she was my second in department.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a big job.
Yeah, so what were the main challenges of that, then, for you in that role?
The main challenges in that role, I think, were prioritising what we needed to do. We had a real pressure on the Key Stage 4 and outcomes.
Mm.
And the Key Stage 3 curriculum wasn't really in existence. So I had to drive the team to do both at the same time with the curriculum and also drive the Key Stage 4 results.
Yeah, and help them to learn how to teach, I guess, as well.
Yeah, that was a big thing. And giving them the subject knowledge to be effective.
Mm. So how did you do that? But I mean, this is quite, well, how long ago is this now that you were doing that role?
8 years ago.
Right. So can you remember how you managed to do that? Because I know that's not kind of what we're looking at today, but I'm interested in how you managed to keep the subject knowledge going, but at the same time do the day-to-day stuff to get the kids the results.
I had to be pretty relentless, if I'm honest.
Right,
Lots of sharing good practice, lots of co-planning.
Right.
There were even times because the new GCSE framework was coming in as well.
Yeah.
So there were times where I used our department meeting time where we sat round a table together and annotated scenes from Macbeth or a poem that was going to be taught to make sure the less experienced staff had the knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also I'd drop into lessons a lot. I'd go and co-teach and team teach.
Yeah, that's a key, isn't it? I think that, well, the two things you said, the relentlessness, which I think is any school that's in that position, is you need to be relentless to get them out of it. But also, I think you're right, that co-planning is a great way of upskilling people quite quickly, I think.
Yeah, and, I gave the NQTs the opportunity to write schemes of work. And I think that was really important with their understanding of curriculum and how you move students through a frame of a unit of work rather than looking at individual lessons.
Yeah, no, I agree. So then that was about 8 years ago. So then what happened after that?
So I stayed as the head of English for 5 years. And then 3 years ago, I was fortunate enough to be promoted within my school to assistant head.
Right.
Which was great. It's a small school, so it's a small leadership team. And I think that's been really beneficial to me in developing my knowledge of how a school operates and runs.
Okay, fantastic. So what we'll do, we'll pause your journey there. I presume you're allowed to talk about your next step, are you?
I can talk about my next step.
You can, all right. So we'll do that at the end. But what I want to now go back to now is talking about your, you know, the job of being an assistant head. So what we've been discussing today on the show is that role and the nuances of it and the challenges, etc. So my first question really is, what in that long career that you've had so far, what prepared you, do you think, the most for going on to leadership?
I think possibly being, hang on, let me just mute my phone.
I thought that was my phone ringing for a minute.
No, I'm still at work, I'm afraid. I've got year nine parents this evening.
Oh, Christ. Yeah, go on.
Way back. I think probably being a head of department.
Yeah.
And especially head of core, I think really helped me. I think the way you have to use data, the way you have to look across whole year groups and the whole school in that way, and leading literacy, it helped me have that wider perspective than you'd maybe get from a different role.
Yeah, that's interesting, because Jackie said the opposite, because she was a PE teacher, so she found that was the biggest challenge for her, because she, you know, A, it wasn't core, and the same for myself, drama as well. I didn't have that knowledge of core, so therefore I think you do a lot of those kind of roles, don't you? If you're if you are, you know, English, maths or science, I guess you already kind of do a lot of that. That's interesting. And then what about the flip side? What did you, when you, in your first year as an AHT, what did you think, do you know what, I've got no experience of this?
So obviously my career track's been quite curriculum based and academic based, and it was the supporting and the pastoral based.
Right.
So, you know, I dealt with behaviour as the head of English, but it's very different dealing in a subject than it is looking at a child across the school, and things like the exclusion process and the working with parents. And I think there's nothing, there's something quite powerful in vulnerability sometimes as a leader.
Yeah.
So I was fortunate enough to work with an experienced head of year and an experienced pastoral manager and a great deputy head who were able to help give me that knowledge. And you almost have to be like a sponge and listen to people. You're not expected. You don't have to be the oracle on everything.
No, that's a good point, isn't it? Yeah, and I think that's probably a fear that possibly people have, you know, is that you know, you're going around assistant head and you want to project a feeling of confidence, don't you, and authority. But it, underneath, you know, you're constantly on a day-to-day basis thrown into situations that you possibly out of your depth, and it is just remembering that there's lots of people there with that specialist experience, isn't it? And it's just knowing where to necessarily go to, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, asking the right questions.
Yeah,
that's really important. Like, I think I asked questions non-stop for the first year or two as an assistant head, because I wanted to know more. I wanted to understand the process, so I didn't make the wrong decisions. Yeah, I didn't relentlessly ask questions. Yeah, Ian says you did. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, we can all ask questions, but do we get the right answer? But what did you mean by that vulnerability? Sorry, I meant to drill down on that. What did you mean by that?
Like, I think there's, especially as a woman in leadership, I think there's this really odd impression that you have to be overtly strong.
Right.
And, you know, almost have a front. But actually, you're still human. You're still going to have moments where you battle with your confidence, and you're going to have moments where you're not sure what to do in situations. Yeah. And I think, you know, you can be vulnerable and ask people. It's not a sign of weakness.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting, because I didn't ask Jackie about this either, but I didn't want to really bring it up unless it came up. But the gender issue is an interesting one as well. I don't know what the stats are for, you know, the amount of female assistant heads there are compared to males, but I would hope that it's a lot better than maybe other industries or sectors. But do you want to expand a bit on that gender thing, or do you feel like it's a red herring?
It's a bit of a red herring. I mean, I've worked for the past 3 years in all male leadership teams.
Right.
And I, you know, I don't think it's a gender thing. I think it's about the team dynamic and it's about how valued people feel,
right,
whether that's male or female.
Yeah, absolutely. No, totally agree. That's why I didn't really want to make it about that, because I thought it just makes it more of an issue. Okay, great. Thanks for that. So that's those questions. Right, next bit is a bit easier. Or what is the aspect of the role, not the school, obviously, the role that you enjoy the most?
I think it's that ability not just to influence and impact the students, it's also working with staff as well.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, seeing staff move forward is such a nice thing, because we all think we get to a stage where we can't move forward anymore. But when you have those wins, it's really nice.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I think that's, as I would totally agree with that as well. I think you don't, you know, seeing students get great is brilliant and is such a rewarding experience, isn't it? When you see them get the GCSEs or the A-levels they want to get and you feel part of that. But actually seeing teachers coaching, I get that a lot from coaching, seeing people progress, you know, and get better as an adult and learn, that is absolutely very rewarding as well. So that's good. So that's the thing you like the most. So what part of the job is the most challenging, do you think, for you at the moment? I put aside from the COVID, just what part of the you know, because that is just a full challenge for everybody on the planet. But outside of that, what's the most difficult thing about being an assistant head?
I think it's the balance. You know, you can't do everything and deal with everything. And sometimes you do have to step back and not be operational to get that wider picture, to keep your strategic vision.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And how do you do that then?
I think it's about having that person you go to talk and bounce ideas. I think it's really important. I think you need a safe space as an AHT where you can talk your ideas without someone thinking that you're completely off on the wrong tangent or judging you for that.
Yeah, no. And so I guess that then comes down to personalities that you work with, doesn't it? And the people in the school. Go on.
And I think it's also sometimes just taking the time away. It's very easy to be the person in the school for the longest hours each day.
Yeah.
But actually, sometimes you need a break from the environment to help give you that perspective and get your ideas.
Yeah, I know that's interesting, because I've had this come up on the show a couple of times with people, a head teacher who phoned in and said the same thing about people who think this, you know, if they stay till 8 o'clock every night, in some way they're working harder than everybody else, and actually they're probably not. You know, it is sensible to leave at a normal time and to have a break and to do other stuff, because ultimately you're not going to be a very good leader or human being, are you, if you're stressed and tired every single day?
No, not at all. And you know, you need to charge your emotional energy.
Yeah,
because it can be emotionally draining, because you deal with students, you deal with staff, you deal with parents, and people take a lot from you.
They do take a lot. Yeah. So how would you, what's your tactic? I know for me, sometimes I would find a really quiet classroom that I knew, you know, was never used at that time, and sitting there because I found that nobody could find me, which I shouldn't really admit, because there's probably people listening who used to be my boss, etc. But anyway, it's done now. They can't sack me. But you know, so what's your tactic for kind of getting that strategic quiet space at school? Or do you not do it at school?
I tend not to do it at school. So I will try and leave school early.
Yeah.
And generally I know I'd go for a walk, or I'll go to the gym, or I'll do something.
And is that where your ideas come? Is that where your best ideas come from that kind of reflection time, or is it more
often, or sometimes through that, you know, I've got a lot of teacher friends, and that just talking to your teacher friends can give you a lot of ideas.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, sometimes I have my best ideas cycling to school, you know, and when it wasn't even anything to do, you know, just letting my mind drift a little bit whilst obviously still watching the traffic. But, you know, I think sometimes sometimes that's how you can solve these issues, isn't it? Rather than sitting, you know, sometimes the operational does get in the way, doesn't it, with the radio and emails and whatever else that's going on. Okay, so what advice would you give to someone thinking about going on to SLT?
I'd say be a sponge. Like, spend as much time as you can with people in the role, just listening, observing, learning. And, you know, try and put yourself forward for things. So, you know, take on opportunities that will give you the experience to step up.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, you know, as the head of English, I was given a lot of freedom with what I could do. I ended up doing whole collapse curriculum days because we noticed across core there was a gap in students' basic skills. So we then collapsed the curriculum and did a project day to build those skills in, and I was able to lead on that, and that gave me a great whole school experience with Impact.
Yeah, so that's good, isn't it? So if you get those, the advice, I suppose, is that if you get those opportunities, and I would say the same, if you get those opportunities in your school.
Or that seek might, them out.
Yeah, or seek them out, which is again
what, the solution.
Yeah, that's what Jackie said as well about, you know, just doing things, putting yourself out there, going for other little maybe put small roles or short-term project roles or whatever it is, just to get experience. I did loads before I got into leadership that really helped me understand whole school issues and learn how to be a leader, I guess.
Yeah.
So Sarah's messaging there, it's good to switch off. Stressed brains aren't the most creative. So totally agree. But yeah, if you're looking for, you know, solving problems, that's what you've got to do. So one question I didn't ask Jackie, which I'm kicking myself about because we ran out of time and she had a bit of a dodgy connection. So I wasn't sure if she was going to suddenly disappear. But was I wanted to ask her about how you keep on top of, you know, what methods you use to keep on top of your pedagogy and your research.
So I use Twitter, but I think sometimes you can fall down a bit of a Twitter rabbit hole. And then I come up and 3 hours has passed and I think, oh, I've just got so many ideas now. So I always try to go back to the research. So going back and looking at things at the EEF and seeing what's there. And I think also before you jump full both feet in to the latest trend on Twitter, looking at the research behind it and seeing how you can adapt it for your school environment.
Yeah, well, that's a massively great tip, tip I think, there is to not just see a fad or see something that someone's done somewhere in some school and think we've got to do that. I think you definitely are right there. I think you have to take the time to properly look at it, find out a bit more about it, and then look at your own context. You know, if you're lucky and you're looking for something specific, you might find it, you know, if you already know what your problem is. But I agree with you. It is great, Twitter. There is so much on there. But I think this is with all media at the moment. I think with the world we live in, there is so much. I mean, look at this, the radio show, you know, the Mary Meyer and Co. I don't know if you've seen that, which is like the Netflix of education. You know, there's so much out there, more than we've ever had. And sifting through it is one thing, but actually selecting it is another, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's really hard.
But
yeah, no, definitely. And also having a good network of teacher friends and taking that time. Like, I've had to be really strict with myself this year to make sure I go away and read the latest pedagogy and find out what the current research is so that we don't fall behind.
Yeah, no, that, and that's what I guess is what my question was, is, you know, it's managing to do that. You know, you haven't got time to read every single book, you know, or listen to every podcast that's out there. But I guess just chugging your way through it, isn't it?
And also, like, the collaborative work, you know, if you work within a trust or across a section of schools, is sharing resources and sharing information with each other.
Yeah, 100%. Sarah sent a message in there. Just again, this is for people on the podcast who can't see these. She's put, mentoring is also a good route into developing your people skills and a great opportunity for those wanting to step up. Would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I used to love mentoring trainees as when I was an English teacher before I had a new responsibility. And I think it starts to make you think about and developing your teacher practice, and how you coach somebody through that is huge. You can't 100%. Just tell them to be better.
No, and you can't. And it also and it also shines a light on the issues that are in your school, doesn't it? You know, whether it's, you know, a behavior issue or the way marking is being set up, or I don't know, there's loads of different things that by mentoring someone, it gives you a reflection back, doesn't it? Well, I'm cautious of time, because we've got to play Take Your Pick. And in addition to that, I wanted to really briefly just ask you, because next week's show, I'm going to be talking to two head teachers about applying for jobs and what they look for and the application process to that, because I'm aware that, you know, it's the teacher transfer window and people are... You know, at the moment, the window's going to slam shut in 2 weeks. And so people are looking for jobs.
Mad scramble.
That's it. And I'm going to be Jim White. I'm going to be there standing there and shouting at school gates. But what I was going to say to you was, you recently, well, tell us a little bit about your recent appointment.
So I've been fortunate enough to be recruited. I think they had over 93 applications.
Wow.
For a teaching and learning role in a much bigger school than the one I'm in now.
Right, yeah.
So in some ways it's a sideways move, but actually I think for me it's a great move because I get to work in a different environment. It's an outstanding school. They have a positive progress score. So I'm going to have to use different skills to influence mm-hmm. change there than I'd use in my current school.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I don't think that's a sideways move at all. I think anyone going from one size of school to a bigger school or one without a sixth form to one with a sixth form, I would say it's definitely not sideways. And also, like you say, the challenge will be completely different if the results are better. But, you know, or you're still going to have to, you know, improve and improve and improve, aren't you? So
it's never to improve when you haven't got that urgency to improve results, I think, is a very different.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think I mean, obviously you don't want to say anything in dodgy because you've just got this job, but also the culture of the school is huge and how you manage that. So, and that is a teaching and learning role, isn't it? So that is brilliant news. I'll just say congratulations on behalf of everyone on the show. So that's really good. Good luck with that. And hopefully, you know, just keep in touch about how you get on because it's a school quite local to me, but I'm sure you'll be brilliant there. Okay, so we're gonna play Take Your Pick now. So did you hear that earlier?
Yeah.
do you get the concept of it?
So I have to choose one all the way through.
One or the other, that's all you've got to do. Yeah, okay. That is it. So I'm gonna play my new jingle.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you have to do that. Is one thing you can't do. You can't say neither or either. You have to be decisive, but I don't care what your reasons are. So I'm going to play my new jingle that I'm really chuffed with. The rules of the game are quite simple. You have two choices, A or B. You have to decide which of those options you prefer, with no explanation, no justification, and no judgment of your choice. It's just a choice, a simple choice. Listeners of the show can also take part, but we'll never know their answer. So the time is now, the pressure is on, for you to...
Take your pick!
Did you like that?
Great jingle.
Yeah, that only took me about an hour, so...
Is that all? I feel like it's all your childhood dreams coming to fruition.
It literally is. So I'm just glad that we're not actually streaming video because my hair is absolutely horrendous, so... I'm getting it cut this weekend. I'm very excited. Right, so these are your choices. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so number one, Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve?
Christmas Eve.
Bagel or roll?
Roll.
Jamie Carragher or Jamie Redknapp?
Redknapp. I'm old.
Okay. Yeah, well, I pause it for the minute. I do try and tailor this to my guests if I know them. If I don't know them, it's very difficult. Jane Eyre or Oliver Twist?
Jane Eyre.
Pepsi Max or Coke Zero?
Coke Zero.
Back to the Future or Terminator?
Terminator.
Billie Eilish or Dua Lipa?
Dua Lipa.
I don't even really know who these people are. All I know is my daughter listens to them. Mario or Sonic?
Mario.
New York or Tokyo?
New York.
And then the final one is pastoral or academic?
Academic.
And can you give a bit of an explanation why?
Yeah, I think, you know, pastoral is so important in a school. But for us to really support students to improve their life outcomes and change some of the future patterns, especially in a disadvantaged area, the best thing we can give them is the opportunity and the support to get their GCSE results, and pastoral feeds into that.
No, that's really good. I mean, again, it's an annoying, controversial question and I'm not trying to trip people up, but, you know... Again, there are obviously amazing things that people do from a pastoral point of view, and we could not operate schools without them. I 100% agree. But for me, I've always, again, been down that road of, you know, there's lots of people who can do that. I'm not the best at that kind of area. I want to just get them the best results they can in my subject, because that is what I went into it for. But again, some people might have argued the other way. So listen, first of all, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
No, you're welcome. And obviously giving up a bit of your time. Did you say you're still at school?
Yeah, we've got year 9 virtual parents evening happening. So I'm just staying behind to support staff in case it's an issue.
Yeah. So do you think that's, oh, that's interesting. Do you think that's better than virtual parents evenings, or do you prefer the old school?
Lots of staff and parents really like the system because it keeps the time and cuts them off. I miss that face-to-face contact.
No, I think I'd be the same, but I have heard a lot of people saying, on Twitter as well, that they prefer it like this. And I certainly did my son's one like it. And as a parent, I enjoyed it more because I didn't have to go anywhere. Yeah. You know, it saves petrol, it saves parking. There's all that aspect. But I suppose if you've got a good connection and a good camera, I guess it's the same. But I don't know. It's not quite the same for me. But
it's potentially something I think that people would keep post-COVID.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I'm saying. One of the things that we may well keep. But I know how busy you are, and I appreciate it. And it was good to talk to you. And again, well done for your job, and good luck with it. I'm sure you'll be missed at your current school, but unfortunately, that is the circle of life, as they say. All good for you. All right.
All right. Cheers, Seb. I'll speak to you.
No problem. Thanks a lot, Becca. Okay. Goodbye. See ya. Right, so that was Rebecca Heather, who's an English teacher, assistant head, teaching learning, and who is just starting a new job in September. So good luck to her. And thanks again to Jackie for calling in earlier and giving her pearls of wisdom on the same subject of going into leadership from the classroom. So I hope you enjoyed that show today. There's certainly a lot of opinions in there and a lot of interesting points about it, and I hope people who've listened in who are thinking of going on to leadership now have got a better understanding or appreciation of what it entails, and possibly now more enthusiastic. And I hope my mystery man who suggested today's show, I hope if he's listening or he listens on the podcast, which you can get on Spotify after the show's finished, I hope it helps him make his mind up. So just time to say in the last few minutes, thanks for joining us. Thank you to all those people who've messaged in and kept the conversation going. Thanks to Mal there. What I'd like to also say is just a couple of things. One, I'm going to promote other shows because I think that's important. So Genevieve is on The Late Show tonight at 8. That is one for science people. I think she's got physics teachers and chemistry teachers and three guests talking about science. So if I won't be calling in because I haven't got a clue about science, but I may well give it a listen, Genevieve. So good luck with that. If you're into science, give her a call. And then also Friday morning is Kate Jones, which I always promote because she always gets such amazing top level guests. So this week, believe it or not, she's got Professor John Hattie. I'm not sure whether he's calling in from Australia or it's how that's going to work, but John Hattie, ladies and gentlemen. So I will definitely be the king of visible learning. I will be definitely listening to that. I may even send a message because it'd be great to get into contact with John Hattie. So that's tomorrow morning from 7 till 8:30. So join Kate for that. And for me, I just want to say one more thing, which is next week's show, I've got two head teachers. One of them is Caroline Barlow, who is pretty well known on the Twitter sphere. She is a brilliant head teacher, lots of experience, and she is going to be joining me to talk about lots of different things about leadership and applying for jobs. Don't forget to check out the website, ttradio.org. Message us at ttradio2021 on the Twitter. We've also got a LinkedIn page now, so check out that on LinkedIn. / Teachers Talk Radio. So you can follow us all those different platforms, LinkedIn, the Twitter. I think we're going to be streaming on Facebook, the podcast on Spotify. So next week will be Caroline Barlow. And I've also got another head teacher called Hugo Hutchinson. And he will be joining me about, he's got some amazing tips for how to get a job. I've actually already done that interview. It's pre-recorded. And I will be playing that next week. But he has got some gold dust tips. If you're looking to apply for a job and you're doing that process, definitely tune in next Thursday because you'll get some great tips. Also, Mal is reminding me that you can now subscribe to Teacher Talk Radio on YouTube. So we are properly going all out on our social media. So it's all out there. Search us up, join the conversation, get involved, tell your friends, and let's get everybody talking about teaching and supporting each other. So that was today's show, The Drive Home with me, Seb. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll see you all next time.
You've been listening to Teachers Talk Radio. Tune in live and listen back at ttradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you next time on Teachers Talk Radio.